Hey, this is Matt Cain with the San Francisco Giants, and you guys are listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants.
Let's go, Giants! SF Giants!
With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Wednesday, May 19th, 2021, and this is episode 225 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of your still in first place San Francisco Giants. We're coming to you live on Facebook, as we do every week, although we've been kind of transitioning because of Eric's schedule last week, my schedule this week, so we're coming to you on Wednesday. We're still trying to shoot for Mondays regularly, but speaking of Eric, he is here today as I bugged him, as I texted someone I didn't mean to text, and got a hold of Eric this morning and said, can you go earlier today? So he accommodated, and he is here to talk Giants baseball. How you doing, man?
How could I not want to talk about the team with the best winning percentage in baseball? I mean,
that's right.
Forget about it. I'm doing well. I'm excited that we do get to talk about Giants right now. They've been getting the job done in Cincinnati, and you know, it's good to see that that they're still in the lead. Now, with those damn Padres, it's just start losing, and things would be a little easier on the Giants right now.
Yeah, I know. It's insane. I mean, this is a pretty amazing point in the season. You know, I had been touting, and I think a lot of people look at that quarter season mark as a really good barometer on how good or bad a team is. And the Giants have now eclipsed that 40-game mark. They have now played 42 games, and they are 26-16, 6.10 winning percentage, best in all of baseball. And that forecasts out to 98 or 99 wins. I mean, what's going on, Eric? I mean, that's like even blowing your prediction away. Hey, look, I'm not saying they're going to win 98 games. I'm just saying a quarter of the way through the season, they're a 98-win type of team so far.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I knew I shot for the moon with 88, but mine's like looking most realistic if they can keep this up right now.
Yeah, I mean, even if they slow down a little bit, 88 is, you know, well within their sights at this rate. You know, even if they're like 500 for the next 40 games, you know, it's still there. But yeah, you know, look, their tagline this year is Resilient SF, and no matter how dumb that sounds, it really is applicable this year, and we're going to get into a little bit of that. Look, the Giants are 4-2 since we last recorded, but those two losses are two more walk-offs, Eric. They should be 6-0 on this road trip. It's crazy, and when you look at it, they're 12-12 on the road. Six, half of their 12 losses on the road are by the walk-off. Ouch! That's crazy! And yet they still bounce back and seem to win games and have the best record in all of baseball. I mean, if that isn't resilient, I don't know what is.
You know, the tag should really be Resilient AF instead of Resilient SF.
That's good.
That's what they've been so far this year.
Resilient AF. I like it. Oh, man, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I didn't either until just this very moment talking about it. Because it kind of rolls off the tongue similarly. And
yeah.
It really goes to show, and it'll highlight in all these games to talk about, what good starting pitching does. It just really does. I mean, the offense has struggled. Specifically in Pittsburgh, they struggled. But they still were able to at least get a split out of that. But starting pitching, if you have good starting pitching, it can solve so many problems.
Yeah, the starting pitching again, and we're just continuing this trend, and we're getting a little bit into the nuts and bolts of it. But starting pitching continues to dominate their success. And timely hitting, don't get me wrong. And they're doing much better, but the starting pitching is absolutely the number one reason the Giants are where they are. They continue to lead all of baseball in starters' ERA. And the exact opposite almost can be said about the relievers, and they have coughed up quite a few. In fact, the relieving crew has 10 losses on, you know, pegged on them this year. Well, it's not been good.
You talk about six of the losses are of the walk-off variety on the road, and that just shows that starting pitching was getting the job done and getting the team in position to win those games.
Yeah.
And Brooks Knutson, we were doing a preview for Giants Chatter the other day. I think he brought up the stat. The Giants are negative one F war out of the bullpen, worst in baseball.
Yep.
It's even these last two games in Cincinnati, the bullpen's given up runs instead of just kind of cruising. And it makes you wonder if there's ever going to be a time where you feel comfortable with the pen. So it's amazing that the starting pitching's been able to keep this up so well. And that's what keeps them in the games right now. And then when you get timely hitting like the Giants get, they really are resilient AF.
Resilient AF. We got to start that hashtag trending. I love it.
I thought of that before.
Resilient AF. But yeah, here we are. Best record in all of baseball. Of course, number two, Chicago White Sox. Number three, right behind them, is the Padres and the A's. Speaking of the Padres, they have won five in a row. Here they come, the pesky Padres, and they're only a half game back of the Giants. So, but of course, we're still worried about the Dodgers, whom they play this weekend. The Dodgers are two games back, and then there's a big drop off to the Diamondbacks at 8.5, and then the Rockies are somewhere down in the muck in the cellar. Hey, look, they're hanging with the big boys, with the big payroll, with the guys who were supposed to be dominating and blowing away the NL West this year. I mean, look, I still don't expect the Giants to win the West this year. There's three quarters of a season left. But the fact that they've hung around and they've been in first place for 3 weeks now, that's blown all of my expectations out of the water. Seriously. I mean, it's been incredible as, well, incredible AF, I guess.
It really has blown every expectation out of the water. And now that they're going to face the Dodgers seven times in the next 10 games or 9 games, I think it is.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the schedule open right now. There it is. I went too far. Yeah, because after they wrap with Cincinnati, it's three against the Dodgers and then only two against Arizona and four at Dodger Stadium. So
yep.
We're going to finally see if the Giants are for real. They're not going to – you know, this is the second time they've played Cincinnati. They just played Pittsburgh over the weekend. They got to beat up on Texas in the quick two-game series a little while ago. Colorado, they've managed to go 6-3 mm-hmm. against so far. So they're getting the job done against inferior teams. Now it's, you know, those big boys you're talking about, it's time to see. And to be fair to the Giants, they've gone 5-4 against the Padres. So if they mm-hmm. can match that against the Dodgers, then I don't see why they wouldn't stay in their position of first or at least within a game or two of first place by the end of, this stretch.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So let's get into this last series at Pittsburgh. Again, we've kind of bemoaning this. They really should have swept that four-game series. Certainly should have won 3 out of 4, even if you give Pittsburgh, one of the wins. But let's go ahead and quickly review it. So game one, they won 3-1, another traditional kind of torture-type score for the Giants. But again, really enabled by starting pitching. Tony Disco, Disclafani, of course, got the win. 5 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, no runs. Everyone was wondering why he left the game. He was only like 74 pitches or something like that. As it turns out, apparently he wasn't feeling well, and he let Kapler know that. So Kapler said, hey, thanks for being honest. Took him out. The bullpen actually didn't cough it up that game. Rogers got the save that game, and then Steven Duggar hit his first home run of the year, and the first home run in like 2 years for him, I think.
Yeah, first one since 19, and
yeah.
Camilo Duvall continued to struggle in the bullpen. He gave up a solo shot to Will Craig for his first major league hit.
Yeah, and then game two is where the things, I wouldn't say the wheels, fell off. They did not fall off. It just was one of those unfortunate wins, they thought they had it in the bag. And look, a one-run lead going to the ninth, anything can happen. That's the game where you go, okay, Pirates come back with a couple of dinks, and they do it. But they lost 3-2 and 11, but Kevin Gausman was just unbelievable. He cruised through 8 innings. He had 12 strikeouts through those 8. Crawford hit a home run in the 7th, and that's how they had a 1-0 lead. So Kapler left him in. I thought it was a great call. He was dominating the game. I have no ill will on Kapler for leaving him in. I did see a few fans going, it's funny how, they get all mad about, oh, he doesn't know how to manage the bullpen. Okay, fine. He left the damn dominant starter in, and there's still Giants fans coming out of the woodwork going, why didn't he take him out? He didn't have it. Okay, well, let me present to you. I'm going to bring this up right here. Let's go ahead and look at the two singles he gave up beginning in the ninth. I mean,
weak contact.
God, are they weak contact, right? All right, let me got to click a couple buttons here to get this up.
I'll get in my opinion on Kapler's decision there in a moment.
All right, so here we are. He's at 92 pitches, leading off top of the ninth. He has an 0-1 count on Adam Frazier, who, by the way, was like a total giant killer this weekend. Oh,
that guy's such a pest.
Frazier just could, oh man, it just felt like they could never get him out. But here, watch the location of this pitch. And hey, look, tip of the cap to Frazier for what he did with this pitch. Now, granted, with an 0-1 count, it's not exactly a pitch you'd normally go for, but he did correct his swing, and here you go.
Oh, there we go. Adam Frazier softly out
Blanc.
Of the field. And your National League hits leader is aboard with nobody.
I mean, that was just crap. That was just absolute crap. Oops, sorry, it came up again. You know, I mean, it's one of those things where you just tip the cap and you go, Gausman, that was 6 inches out of the zone. An off-speed tailing, you know, 84-mile-an-hour pitch. And he just poked his bat out, happened to hit it, and that, you know, shit happens in baseball, as they say.
Yeah, that's a damned if you do, damned if you don't moment for Kapler, too.
I mean,
if he goes to the bullpen, then everybody's screaming, why don't you let Gausman finish it? But after this second hit, I mean, what else is he supposed to do there either? I mean, Gausman's just as liable to give it up as McGee, who ended up bringing in.
Yep. All right, so with no one out after the Frazier single, you have the next batter up. And this is a more of a traditional non-good contact single. It wasn't out of the zone. But again, he got jammed way up on the barrel. This was not a good hit, but it found a way to get to center field.
There goes
look at that jam shot.
Loops it into center field. Frazier steps on second and heads for third. And now runners at the corners and nobody.
So, I mean, look, what are you going to do, right? I mean, those are just the baseball gods kind of pissing all over Gausman. That's all, you know?
You know, Gausman had struck out 12. When he struck out 11 earlier this season to set a career high, 12 is his new career high. The two times he set a career high in strikeouts this year, the Giants have lost those games.
Yeah,
one of them was a game in Miami and then this game against Pittsburgh.
So, you know, it was a hit and run. So Frazier goes to third. Now you have runners on the corners with nobody out. And now Kapler goes to the bullpen. And he brings in McGee, who promptly gave up a game-tying single. And you're thinking, oh, my God, here we go again. I mean, now it's tied, but now he's just going to give it up. There's nobody out. To his credit, he struck out the next three Pirates and ended the inning. So suddenly you're like, whoa, look at this. He's got his old stuff back from the beginning of the season. You know, a little tailing action high up in the zone. That's where he succeeds. And he blew out three in a row. So it was looking pretty good. So we fast forward to the 11th inning, and the Giants pushed a run across to take the lead. And again, it's not, you know, extremely difficult to score that runner from second. It doesn't happen all the time, but one run lead in this situation isn't everything. So Berger came in, and he's been really, really good this year. Again, these relievers are going to give up runs here and there, and Berger was just in that situation where it happened to him. But in the 11th, he allowed a game-tying triple to lead off. It's weird, a game-tying triple to lead off the inning. Oh, yeah, right. There's a runner on second. That's why. So now he's on third. The game-winning run is on third with nobody out. So they intentionally walks the next two batters to load the bases, which is the smart move because the only way it backfires on you is if that next batter you either hit or walk, right? But other than that, you set up the force play because you have nobody out. You're really hoping, you know, infield's going to be drawn in. Everyone's going to be drawn in. And you're just hoping to cut off the run at home. Or, you know, or get the strikeout, of course,
well,
to start
looks like
off.
Kevin Newman popped out in the middle of that, so there was one out, which makes which makes even more sense to me because then you set up the double play by loading the bases, and so then you make the guy earn it with a fly ball, which is what Polanco hit.
Right. Sorry, I forgot about that out in the middle. So, yeah, it sets up even a traditional 6-4-3, 4-6-3, 5-6-3, or something like that where you end the inning. And, yeah, you know, it was a sacrifice fly, and that was the game. So, it was a frustrating loss, but again, it wasn't one of the epic collapses like against Colorado. No. We have to wait for that epic collapse again the very next day. Not quite as bad as in Colorado, but another bad one. So the Giants led by four runs two separate occasions, 4-0 and then 6-2 as late as the seventh inning. And they had one out in the seventh inning, and Sam Selman came in. He walked a guy, then he hit a batter. So already, it's just free passes. And you get this ominous feeling of like, you know, seems like when the Giants put freebies on base, they get free runs. It's like Oprah, just dishing them out. You know, you get a run, and you get a run, and you get a run. And sure enough, he did get an out. Then Duvall came in with two outs, promptly gave up an RBI single to make it 6-3. Then he hit a batter. Then He threw one wild to score another run to make it 6-4, and then he gave up a game-tying two-run double. Shit. I mean, Doval, he's got great stuff. I don't think anyone's questioning that. The guy throws 99-100. He's just not there mentally. He does not have the experience. He's just checked out, and I think the experiment's got to be over, Eric. He needs more seasoning, and it could be ruining his confidence.
Yeah, that's what I worry about. And I think his confidence is ruined because he constantly goes to the slider when this guy throws 100 miles an hour, and he's out there throwing sliders on like 60% of his pitches. And you got to wonder, you know, why isn't Casale in this particular instance telling him, hey, man, you need to stick with your fastball, be confident in your pitch. I feel like Duvall got beat on his fastball a couple times and got spooked. So he definitely needs to go back down and work some stuff out. You know, you can't like always just completely put it on the manager. Sometimes the guys don't perform, and Duvall has not performed. I mean, they had a 4-run lead when he came into the game, and then bing, bang, boom, it was absolutely gone. And Jacob Stallings turned into the star of this freaking game.
Yeah, it was just frustrating because, you know, he comes in and allows the inherited runners to score that are charged to Salmon. That was 2 runs. And then he allowed an additional 2 runs to score. Again, all of the runs scoring with 2 outs again, Eric. I mean, they just like in Colorado when they scored whatever it was, 5 runs in a row, 2 outs. Here it was, 4 runs in a row, 2 outs. It's just so frustrating. And a very similar thing happened in the 9th inning. So Jake McGee comes in. It's still a tie game. And basically it went down like this. Single, fly out, double. And now to the Giants' credit, Tauchman dug that out in the corner.
What a great play.
And Crawford had a perfect relay and nailed the game-winning run at home. And it just unfortunately temporarily delayed the celebration for the Pirates. Because then, again, 2 outs. God, your moniker sucks sometimes. I'm just saying. Your handle just...
I know, because it's...
It's such a good handle, and then I hate it so much when it bites the Giants. Because here we go, another 2-out hit. Like you said, Stallings became the star of the show, and he hit a walk-off 2-run bomb, and the Pirates go win it 8-6. So it's just 2 gut punchers in a row, and yet the Giants come back, and Alex Wood calmly twirls 6 innings, 8 hits, spread them out, you know, it's okay, a little bit of contact, 6 Ks, 1 run. Rogers got his 4th save, homer by Yaz, and the Giants win game 4 to tie the series and get out of there with a tie at 4-1. So, you know, look, it's great when these guys can bounce back off of losses like this. And that's the thing that I think as fans, we sometimes forget. I mean, you and I played the game and you've umpired the game. I admit it's hard, especially when I was playing double headers every Sunday. If we had a gut punching loss on that second game on Sunday, I had to wait a whole week. Yeah. But you wanted to get back out there and erase that taste in your mouth, right? You needed something. And I think that's what, in a way, it's a benefit for having games so often, is that they really can reset, get a clean palate the very next day. It's like, all right, let's push that back in the memory bank and let's just forget it, you know? We're a fly, or we're just going to forget in 10 seconds. And they're really good about doing that. And I think every major leaguer has to be. It's just like you strike out with the bases loaded and you got to go take your position. You got to leave it in the dugout. You cannot take that failure out with you on defense. So these guys are conditioned to do it, and I think it shows.
That one hurts more, though, the quick turnaround when you don't come through at the plate and then you have to go out on the field. That's hard to turn off. But turn the page each day, it also helps to have Alex Wood, who wants to get out there and do things and fire the ball in there. Like, he's excited to pitch, you know?
He's fast. He's excited. And by the way, I heard about half of his interview on KMBR this morning. He was on the Murph and Mac show. And it was interesting what he was revealing. And again, I want to go back and actually listen to the whole thing. But a really smart dude. He definitely had a really good bond with Farhan when he was in L.A. And that is one of the reasons he signed with the Giants, because he believed in Farhan's strategy and how he builds these teams. He recognized the talent that he acquired in the starting rotation. Yes, even he's surprised somewhat by the success of the starters this year, but he's like, man, it's just all come together. These are all veterans, and the access to the types of information they have, from pitch mechanics to situational defense and pitch selection and all of these things, he said, really does benefit the pitcher. And, you know, they asked him, you know, what about some kids who just basically ignore all that stuff? Are they leaving stuff on the table? And he said, absolutely. I mean, there's plenty of guys that go out there and just rely on their stuff and they succeed. He's like, but anyone who's not using this information that we did not have 5 years ago, he's like, you're leaving so much advantage on the table. You need to take it. So it definitely was an endorsement of Farhan and the coaches and a lot of these analytics that they're pushing on their side. They just have just a wealth of information. And he's like, it's up to the players to absorb it and take it into account. And he has. And it's, you know, he says it's really helped him. But the dude's 5-0. I mean, he's the Giants stopper right now. He's incredible. And he's going to be facing the Dodgers, you know, this Saturday. And they said, hey, no friends this weekend. He's like, no. When the lights come on, I don't have friends. It sounded good. Like, he's like, they're friends on my, they're my friends on that team. But he's like, once the lights come on, no. There are no friends. So it's kind of a good gamemanship mentality.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned he's the stopper. The Giants still have not lost more than two games in a row this season.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Yeah, two gut punches in a row, and Alex Wood's like, I got this, and
right.
Boom.
And they bounce back, and, like, during the game, you just kind of knew. And shout-out to Matt Whistler for a 1-2-3 inning final.
Yeah, finally. See, that's the thing. I mean, I know a lot of Giants, and even us to a certain extent, are frustrated with Kapler's handling of the bullpen. But when you go up and down the bullpen individual stats, you're like, he's got a bag of shit to deal with. Like, you know, he doesn't have many gems to pull out. So that's one of the problems. And I know when it doesn't work out, you want to blame Kapler. But look, these are professional ball players. They all have to contribute at some point. You can't just always put in Tyler Rogers or, you know, Zach Littell, who's been pretty solid. He finally gave up an earned run this week, so he has an ERA now. But, you know, some of these guys who have the best stats on the team, what are they going to do? They can't pitch two innings every day. So it's the way it goes. So, you know, I'm just hoping that the Giants don't have to chew through too many, you know, guys to make this thing work out. Because, man, I'm telling you, Eric, if their bullpen was even average, they'd be 3 or 4 games.
They could have 30 wins right now.
Yeah, exactly. They would be just unstoppable right now. All right, let's go to Cincinnati. They're in the middle of a 4-game set, and they've won the first two so far. So this is great because Cincinnati has played fairly well at home this year. Game one, Logan Webb. I went to his last start in San Francisco, which was incredible. 10K is a career high, and you're just kind of going, is he going to continue this? Absolutely. 6 innings, 6 hits, 4 Ks, no runs. He got the win. Giants win 6-3. Homers by Flores and Yaz. Giants actually had a 5-0 lead, and then the pen came in, and they got a little scary again with 1 run in the 7th and 2 in the 8th to make it interesting. But they did clamp down the 6-3. Final. I did miss the last half of that game. I was out coaching baseball at the time, but I don't know if you watched that game, if you noticed anything that gave you cause for concern.
Well, that's why I shout out Matt Whistler for his other game, because he came in and gave up 2 bombs in this game, and everybody was like, oh, great, here we go again with the bullpen. And mm-hmm. He forced the Giants to throw Rogers out there for the 9th inning. Berger came out. He was able to stop the bleeding, but it was just weird that it was Whistler again. But, you know, the play, it's funny, the Wilmer homer, the Yaz homer, Dubon homer, that was the day of the bunch of, that was the game with the bunch of homers, that's right. And that was good to see that Yaz is starting to hit the ball well. That was two games in a row he homered.
Yeah.
And Flores, it seemed like Flores was starting to come around until he got hurt yesterday.
Yeah, then yesterday he gets hurt, right? Speaking of which, the Giants did win 4-2, Desclafani gets the win again. He's 4-1 on the season. 7 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 7 Ks. Homers by Alex Dickerson. And, of course, the team-leading, unbelievable 10th home run by Brandon Crawford. Already 10 bombs before June 1st. I mean, this is amazing. And Alex Dickerson fresh off the IL, and this is what we hope to see. We need more Dick chance. He went 3-for-4, including that 3-run bomb to take a 3-1 lead, which they grabbed for good, and then Crawford added that late home run. He actually leads all shortstops in all of baseball, tied with Trey Turner from Washington at 10 home runs. And he's quietly raised his average to .248. I mean, it was hovering around the Mendoza line for quite some time. So it's coming around. It's really good to see.
Yeah, it's so fun to see Crawford thriving right now. And it's not just at the plate. I think he made his first error of the season yesterday or in that Monday game. I'm not sure which one it was. I think it was the Monday game that extended the ninth for a play.
But, yeah.
You know, it's good to see. It's so funny because this is just another version of the veterans dragging the younger kids along. Because Dick, like you said, it was good to see him come back. But just watching Crawford right now, I mean, how can it not be a love fest? The guy seems to be hitting clutch hits, you know, at the right times. 10 home runs. He's on pace for over 30. If you had told us that at the beginning of the season, we would have been like, yes, sir. Please, sir. Can I have some more, sir?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know it's his walk year, but hey, we'll take it right now. He has been incredible. I mean, for him to not hit 20 at this point seems pretty low chance of that happening. Even if he hits two or three a month, he's going to eclipse 20, which is incredible. So I'm going to share both of those home runs. Here's the first one by Alex Dickerson.
Dickerson, who hit a gapper into right center field. That ball down the right field line, deep, way back there. Goodbye! A three-run homer for Alex Dickerson, and the Giants jump ahead 3-1.
Well, looks like Alex Dickerson may be heating up. Big swing of the bat by Alex Dickerson after coming off the IL.
Yeah, and so as you saw the graphic right there, I know our audio podcasters or listeners couldn't see that. But the Giants now, so I need to close this, have homered on the road in 15 consecutive games. That's a Giants record. Pretty cool.
that is cool because, you know, you don't think about them homering in some of these losses, but there was like a solo shot mixed in every time. And
yeah. Going. I mean, 15 consecutive road games, they've hit home runs. What the hell? That's like, that was a surprise to me when I saw that clip. I was just like, oh, all right. All right. And then here is Brandon Crawford capping the night off.
Going back to the slider.
Crawford hits one very high, very deep. Very fair. Out of here. And there's your earned run average.
3-2 pitch. Saw everything that Heath Hembree had to offer in that at bat and got the pitch he could handle. Big swing of the bat. Add on run here late in the game.
Yeah, and we'll take that. He's just looking so smooth lately. I don't know what it is about him, but he has just been fantastic. And to think that, remember even last year, Kapler's first year managing this team, how often Crawford did not play. Yeah. You know? And here he is this year. And, you know, even the beginning of the year, he wasn't playing all the time. But now, yeah, Kapler's like, okay, yeah, we need him. We need his offense. We need his stick.
Well, that's something I've noticed Kapler's done this season is when guys have proven themselves, he's given them a shot. He's moved them up the lineup. You know, Posey wasn't happy starting the season batting in the bottom half of the order.
Yeah.
And Posey, you know, knocked the cover off the ball, and now he's hitting in the top three or four usually. Crawford's in the five or six hole usually now instead of being buried at seven or eight. So I give Cap, you know, credit for at least giving these guys a chance when they're showing that they, you know, need the opportunities.
So you just mentioned about Flores, and I think we need to go through some of the injuries right now because some of them are a little concerning. Things have developed not in the best trajectory, I would say. But Wilmer Flores, of course, it's a black hole there. But Wilmer Flores, of course, his hammy, he couldn't score yesterday. He's considered day-to-day, but I think that's going to turn into at least a 10-day IL stint because it is hammy. He's going to undergo an MRI. Today, Donovan Solano, that's the good news. He's expected to be activated this Wednesday, today. So, I mean, that's fantastic. So I don't know if he's going to be in the lineup today. Maybe he will. I haven't heard otherwise.
Well, he was supposed to start last night and mm-hmm. was scratched from the lineup the moment Flores got injured. So I assume that means so he just rested yesterday and traveled. So I think Donnie will be in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, so again, this is the strength of the Giants roster this year is depth. You know, there are a lot of interchangeable parts, a lot of cogs that are very similar to one another. But we'll take Solano's bat. I mean, he is clearly the best contact infielder that they have, aside from, let's say, a Buster Posey right now. Yeah. Aaron Sanchez was also on the 10-day IL. He had an encouraging visit with Dr. Neil Elatrache, however you pronounce it, on Monday. And could start playing catch next week. We'll see how long he's going to be out. Logan Webb, day to day. They do expect him to make his next start. We'll see about that. With shoulder soreness, it's a little concerning, but we'll see. But Tommy La Stella was transferred to the 60-day injured list on Tuesday. So we thought things were heading in a positive direction, but apparently not. So he's going to be on the injured list for quite some time.
Yeah, it's a shame because, you know, Tommy's new. It's a new team. He wants to establish himself. But that's part of the second base black hole that the Giants have run into this year. You know, it was supposed to be pretty much a platoon of La Stella and Solano over there. And we've seen Dubon at second base more than anyone imagined.
Brandon Belt is still day-to-day because of his side, but he'll be on the bench available to hit. And then another development, Reyes Moranta, who they thought was coming back soon, was suddenly placed on the 60-day IL a couple of days ago. So he's also going to be out for quite some time. Hunter Bishop down below was placed on the 7-day IL. Who cares about that? Jose Alvarez, one of their relievers, was also placed on the 10-day IL about 6 days ago. I know that Tyler Beede, he's looking really, really good in his rehab down in Sacramento, and they expect him up fairly soon, and they
31st or June 1st he's eligible to come off.
Yeah, they need him. And it was interesting, the other, I think it was yesterday, the day before, they said now that Logan Webb actually has more appearances than Tyler Beede, and that's weird. It's like, wait, what?
Wow.
So yeah, it's a combination with Beede being out for so long, and, you know, of course Webb just making so many appearances in that time. So he's now surpassed him. He has more experience than Tyler Beede. So there you are with the injuries. As far as transactions are concerned, probably the ones of note, I thought this was kind of cool. They claimed outfielder Braden Bishop off waivers from the Mariners. Of course, that's Hunter Bishop's brother. And so now they're both going to be in the organization, and they're both pretty damn excited to be playing with one another. We'll see if that develops in anything. I mean, who knows if one or both will make the big league club here in the next year or two. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think Braden's more just more of the outfield depth that Farhan seems to be you know, accumulating. Like, it was pointed out to me the other day, like, the Giants could throw out any combination of three outfielders, and they just feel comfortable with it during any game. It doesn't matter what it is. Any combination of Ruff, Slater, Yastrzemski. I can't believe I have Ruff in there, but, I mean, the guy was on fire with his two assists the other day.
Yeah.
And so Ruff, Slater, Yastrzemski, who almost – even Wade, Slater, Duggar's been hitting the ball well. Like, this depth is what is keeping this team going. And so, you know, Bishop's just another one of those kind of pieces.
The Giants also claimed Trevor Hildenberger off of waivers from the Mets. This guy doesn't have a very long career, but his MLB stats read at 9-11 with a 5.52 ERA in 134 games. He has 133 innings pitched. His WHIP is 1.4. This year, he had a very short stint, 2 1/3 innings pitched, and he had an ERA of 15.43 in those two innings. So he obviously gave up, like,
not good innings. Then, yeah.
Yeah, they were not good innings. His WHIP's 2.5. Again, two innings, whatever. It is what it is. So, you know, it could be another reclamation project, and maybe he's going to be one of those guys who will come in and, you know, maybe he'll receive a push in the right direction. But, you know, look, the Giants are looking for any reliever help that they can they can get at this point. That's for damn sure. But, hell, if I were Trevor, I'd be excited to be out of New York. So, welcome to the Giants, Trevor Hildenberger, forever Giant. Just
forever
kidding.
Giant. I'll have a Hildenberger with a side of ranch.
Yeah. Speaking of Darren Ruff, it's funny that you should say that. I actually do have his highlight here of throwing out a runner at home plate. Yeah, I don't know. Darren Ruff, never known for his defense. Suddenly he's picking it up. Here we go.
That one is hit to right. Not that deep. We'll see. Darren Ruff is going to make the catch. Here comes Tom trying to score. The throw there. Tag, and he got him at home.
He threw out two runners and hit a home run in the same game. Something Willie Mays never did.
Oh, is that right?
Is that not crazy? Darren freaking Ruff did something Willie Mays never did.
You know what's funny about Darren Ruff? He reminds me of just a big dude I played softball with.
Yeah, because that guy.
His mechanics are not smooth at all. the way he catches, the way he throws, the way he swings, he's just like, me, throw,
like
ball.
Gorilla.
Yeah, he's exactly right. He's just like, catch, throw. There's no, like, grace to him at all. But whatever. It's kind of like, I mean, different in the way, like, Hunter used to throw. He was just, like, very awkward and off balance. Ruff is just more of, like, the Neanderthal.
I've totally played with those guys. I agree with you.
It was like, you know, hey, let's go get, you know, pitcher of beer after the game. That's who he reminds me of. But
good
hey.
Beer, good.
Oh. Yeah. It's funny that you and I think the same thing there.
but we'll take it. It was funny. It was the dugout shot of him just standing there talking to somebody when it hit me one day, too. And I was like, oh, my God, I've played with a bunch of guys like that. Because, you know, he can hit the ball a ton. And that's the same guys they were, just like kind of the big, you know, okay, I'm just going to swing to hit the ball out of the ballpark as far as I can. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, by the way, Mike Dowling had a question. Who goes down when Beattie comes back?
Depends on who's hurt at that time.
I'd say, yeah, that's still, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks off. So
Duvall, if he's not down yet.
I think that's a good call. Duvall, if he's not down yet. And he just, yeah, he needs more seasoning. And I believe the guy can be good. I really do. He's just one of those guys.
21 or 22.
Yeah, diamonds in the rough, you know, throws hard. I don't think he's got it right now. Or if he just throws more fastballs and gets beat on that instead of his damn slider, which keeps happening. So, all right, well, let's talk about around the league as we wrap up a slightly shortened version of TorchaCast. We have things to do, places to go. We had yet another no-hitter, Eric. What the hell is going on this year? We talked a little bit about it, but it just keeps happening. This is the fifth official no-hitter. Of course, Madison Bumgarner might have had one if he had an extra two innings. So it's almost the sixth this year, and we're not even at June. I don't get it. But here we go. This is Spencer Turnbull from the Detroit Tigers closing out his game last night against the Seattle Mariners.
He's done it! Spencer Turnbull throws the eighth no-hitter in Tigers history!
Was it only the eighth no-hitter in Tigers history?
I know they've been around a hell of a long time, right?
Right.
Well, congratulations to Spencer. Pretty cool. You don't expect it coming from the Tigers, especially a guy, by the way, Eric, I didn't realize this. He was 3-17 in 2019. 3-17. Ouch.
I want to find Kyle Seager of the Mariners. That's the second time the Mariners have been no-hit this year. And mm-hmm. So now two teams have been no-hit twice. For only the second time in history. But I saw a stat. Chris Corbett shared with us a stat, and I can't find it. Kyle Seager's been a part of 9 no-hitters in his career with the Mariners.
Wow.
5 on the winning side and 4 on the losing side. Or it might be the other way around. 4 on the losing side, 5 on the winning side, which is just unbelievable to think that one player has just been involved in that many no-hitters. He's been involved in 9 no-hitters in his career, 4 for his team and 5 against. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
He's like getting up there with Nolan Ryan.
Yeah, and, you know, I listened to a podcast with Doug Glanville a few weeks ago where Jason Stark asked him, and Doug's like, no, I was never a part of any no-hitter for either side my entire minor and major league career.
Wow.
Which is amazing. And the guy played, you know, over 1,000, 1,500 games between all that. And then Kyle Seager's over here in like 7 years being involved in 9 no-hitters.
Yeah, the San Jose Giants had a combined no-hitter a couple weeks ago and never talked about it. I mean, it was like 4 or 5 pitchers. It wasn't like that big of a deal, but pretty cool, you know, in the minor leagues.
He started that game, and he was really on that day from everything I was reading.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. All right, well, coming up, the Giants have 2 games left in Cincinnati today and then a very early 9:30 a.m. Pacific game tomorrow, so that's going to be fun, a little day baseball.
It's on YouTube. It's not on
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's YouTube, so it will not be on your normal, avenues, I guess you can call it. So it will not be called by Dwayne and those guys. That'll only be radio side for the personalities that you are familiar with. And then they come home, and here we go. Big, big, big series against the LA Dodgers. And, you know, look, Dodgers have been underperforming this year. They're starting to get a little steam now, but they've been hit with a lot of injuries, and don't feel sorry for them. But you just hope that the Giants can still catch them when they're cold and they can take two out of three. But I think I don't have the rotation in front of me, but I believe it was going to be Gausman, and no, Gausman's missing that series, isn't he?
I believe so. Let's see.
I think it was Gausman Webb
today and Cueto tomorrow.
So yeah,
it's going to be.
I know Wood, Disco, and Webb. I think are the three.
Yeah,
Wood, Disco, and Webb. So, hey, fine with Wood and Disco. Webb's, hey, look, he's had two great starts in a row. So, I mean, he could surprise us. But if I were to put a finger on it, you know, I would hope that they would win the Disco and Webb starts, or the Disco and Wood starts, and then we'll just see what happens with Webb. But,
The Dodgers are still winning games. They're 7-3 in their last 10.
I mean,
our division is so top heavy right now. And they did sign Albert Pujols, which is just worth a mention, not worth anything else.
No, just a mention. Yeah.
Well,
now,
you know,
watch, he'll come and have two home runs this weekend and win two games.
That's what's going to happen, though, is they're going to get like some freakishly good weekend from Pujols, and everybody's going to be like, oh my God, see, he's not done yet. And then he's totally going to taper off and fade into the distance by the end of the year.
Yeah,
but Chris, he'll have like one weekend against the Giants.
Yeah, I knew this. Chris pointed out no Kershaw or Bauer this weekend, but they expect him to be in the four-game set in L.A. So not avoiding him entirely, but it is nice to not face those guys this week. Although, you know,
big stretch of games ahead. This is great.
Yeah, no, this is good stuff. So that'll do it for episode 225 of the TorchaCast. You can, of course, like us on Facebook, follow us collectively at TorchaCast, individually at ChadK21, for myself at Two Out Hits with the number two. God, I'm beginning to hate that, though. Two Out Hits every freaking time the Giants lose. But yeah, you can
live and die by it. That's how they lost last year, too.
That's true. Very true, right? They just missed it by that one game. Willie couldn't make it today. He's feeling under the weather. I think he got a second shot or something for the vaccine. Pretty cool, but you can follow him at Willie Dills. You can check out everything that we place on social media at torchcast.com. If you're listening to us live, you know that we do this on Facebook. If not, if you're listening to our audio podcast, you can join us live on the video, usually every Monday, but sometimes we change to Wednesdays based on our schedule. And yeah, find us wherever you get your audio podcast. So right now I do have Heart Edition still going on with Willie and Ty every Tuesday night or so, although this week we will be going Thursday. So check that out at Heart Edition Pod. And Eric, do you have anything else going on right now?
Just Giants chatter on Facebook. Join the group. Come have fun in the game threads. We have some good lively discussions about the Giants. There's definitely both sides of the belt wars there, but the comments and the way people talk about it is a lot nicer than some of the other things you'll find out there. So
yeah,
it's a good, respectful Giants group. So Giants chatter on Facebook, good group of people over there.
Yeah, I enjoy the game threads. I admit, like, a lot of times I'm coaching baseball or at my daughter's softball game. I'm busy. I'm doing whatever, but I'll not chime in, but look at the stream once in a while. But when I was covering that game, I definitely was a little bit more involved. I was kind of chattering in there. So yeah, it's a good stream to follow, so I highly recommend it. So that'll do it for episode 225. We'll see you next week. Hopefully the Giants sweep the Dodgers, and we'll be talking about it on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend. Aboo.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TorchaCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TorchaCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TorchaCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.